it's coming right for us. Right for us.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Guys.
Hey! What's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
They will not be sending this one to Canton, Ohio. 20-12, New Orleans on top of the Bears, 122 to go. Game should be over, and actually it's about to be because the Bears are turning it over and New Orleans will be able to run out the clock. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears' final game before the bye week. Looks like they're going in at 3-5. Not a great day for a lot of guys that were wearing the orange and blue today. So, Hampo, where do you want to start
here? Orange and blue, it was white. Yeah. Hey, folks, look, you know, this is not a surprise. We could have wrote the script for this show yesterday. And look, you know, obviously this team is a work in progress. It is, it's under construction. Unfortunately, we got the wrong foreman. The bottom line is, hey, there were some good things. Our defense kept us in the game all day. Drew Brees has not looked that confused and befuddled in many, many, many years, in my mind. But, hey, close don't cut it. Close don't cut it. John Fox is a fool from the opening moment when he deferred after winning the coin toss. You're on the road trying to match up with a team that has won four straight, that is in you know, sole possession of the lead in their division. And you got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we're going to give you the ball to go down the field and take a 7-0 lead on us? You are a fool, Fox, and from that point on. But you know what, OB? Somehow, some way, the football gods are always on the Bears' shoulder because we got so many breaks, so many good calls. The phantom call in the end zone, we'll talk about that. But, guys, I'm just telling you, that defense – they're salty. They forced those fumbles today that kept us in the ballgame from Mark Ingram.
Well, that Danny, I think you're spot on. And the defense has been the bright side of what's been going on. The first, what, 7-8 games, whatever it is?
Eight now.
I'm telling you, this situation with this coaching staff, I'm just a little bit befuddled about why Mitch Trubisky – again, we give up everything to move up in the draft to get him. He comes to the Bears, I believe, was the next day or the second day after being drafted. We've had him here to get into the system, used to the system, pre-training camp, all kinds of rookie camps. Then we go through training camp, then into the exhibition season, and we start this kid out. I believe, what was it, the fifth game? We started Trubisky.
That's right. Yep.
And we kept him totally and completely under wraps, and that is not who the kid is out on the football field. Second game, totally. Keep him under wraps. Finally today, you saw it open up a little bit more, a little more play action, a little bit more sprint out. But, my God, this thing should have been done a long time ago. We should have been into the future like about 3 weeks ago as to what the hell we're doing out there. And by the way, this refereeing crew out there,
they had a rough day.
Oh, my God.
Unconscionable it, would be the best word to use
when
for
they
that.
Called a face mask on the New Orleans defensive back. That was the mystery call of the century. And how does the NFL let these refs make a call on something like that? And you
there's no recourse.
There's no recourse. How's that possible?
The game is final for the record. 20-12. Saints beat the Bears. New Orleans 5-2. The Bears slipped to 3-5 as they enter the bye. And it was a rough day for Mitchell Trubisky. 14 of 32. It's not all on his shoulders, but a rough day. 14 for 32, 164 yards. Was sacked twice, threw an interception. Quarterback rating of 46.9.
Well, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
The first two prior weeks, just what I just said, they kept that kid totally and completely under wraps. What he did best in college was bootleg, was run out, was sprint out, and he could escape out of that pocket. But when you sit back there and drop back when he's going to pass, and you don't move the kid or you don't move the pocket, that kid is not growing. That's the coach's fault.
Well, and he also never was under center in college, right? So he was always in the shotgun.
Right,
they have a center that
I don't care if he was sitting in the stand selling popcorn. It doesn't matter. They held this kid under wraps. They knew what he could do, and it took 3 weeks to finally open the kid up after all training camp, all exhibition season, and now you find out, oh, my God, hey, guess what? This kid can move a little bit.
Right. And
really, and brought him back at the end there with his feet. It was a bad pick at the end of the game, but he was trying to force a throw in there. They were running out of time. Bears got every break you can.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, the defense, though, let's give credit. They created two turnovers, stripping Mark Ingram not once but twice. And I think that's what the two on the back of Ingram's jersey was. I fumbled twice a game. Is that what it was?
Well, yeah.
Ingram today. Two.
That's pretty good, Glenn.
Ingram the second.
You get a little tricky there.
But, you know, and again, we're going to break this down. Give us a shout and let us know if you have the same, what would you, you know, frustration over the fact that last week when at home against Carolina, we get up on, you know, on the backs of a couple of defensive turnovers for touchdowns, and instead of trying to push the envelope and develop the kid and work the it's like Fox said, no, keep him under wraps. Keep it, so we can go to New Orleans and unroll it where it falls flat on its face. This was, you know, and so many different parts of this game are so frustrating because it's a lack of execution. And guess what? Close don't cut it, Fox.
Danny, that's exactly you couldn't have said it better, my friend. That's what I've been saying. And I can't believe that nobody on this coaching staff or in that front office can figure this out. You know, we're not talking about nuclear physics here. The game is called football.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hampton OB with Kaz. The start of the show sponsored by Parent Petroleum. Mark Ingram, for the record, has 5 fumbles in his career coming into today. And the Bears did.
And the last time he did it was 2 years ago. He fumbled in twice in a game, and he never saw the field again.
Yes.
Okay. So he didn't play at all last year because he fumbled twice, and Sean Payton put him on the bench and said, hey, fumbler, sit there and figure out how to not fumble.
And Christian
I have a feeling he'll be back on the bench again, learning how to not fumble.
He benched in the last series today.
Christian Jones ripped out the first one. Adrian Amos, the second one. Folks, I've always said this. Turnovers, most of the time, are man-made. We made them happen today.
They gave the offense a chance, and the offense could not come through. 20-12, Bears lose to the Saints. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz. We are presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6 on 720 WGN and on CLTV till 4.
Third and 10, Trubisky to the end zone. Touchdown, Zach Miller. 25-yard touchdown pass from Trubisky to Miller, and Miller is still down in the end zone.
We're not going to show
After
you the
review,
replay.
The receiver lost control of the ball. The ball hit the ground. It is an incomplete pass. It'll be fourth down.
Wow.
That was a huge play in the game today. The touchdown taken away, and Zach Miller with a major injury, his career in jeopardy. And there was a lot of talk, at least watching Twitter. Everyone thought that Zach Miller caught the football. I thought that in the NFL rules, he never really truly controlled it the way they ask you to. And I thought the officials got it right. I don't know where you guys
are. Okay, let's defer to the actual receiver in the room. You said at the time, Kaz, you agree with the call. It wasn't a catch. With the rules, the way the rules are written, the continued process.
And the best way to explain it is we had the Detroit, Calvin Johnson, make that catch that they thought was the game winner here in Chicago, and he slammed the ball down with his hand, and he lost control of it when he was putting it to the ground, and therefore it wasn't a catch.
He put it to the ground and flipped it up because it was done.
Right.
And then they changed that. But what actually happened in the end zone, he was fumbling the ball a little bit.
He never had control, right.
And then when he hit the ground, the tip of the ball, you saw it came, boom, and came bouncing right up. So and yeah, was the call correct? Yes, it was.
Hey, but if anybody ever needed a biscuit thrown at him for great effort, it was a great effort.
Yes,
and
right.
My goodness, he'll never play again with that knee. I'm just telling you. I hope
yeah,
he
that
does.
That was a bad, goodness,
it was horrible.
That was a bad injury.
It'll take a miracle for that kid to come back from that injury. I guarantee you, folks.
Yeah, and you know what? And again, close, but no cigar. And you know what? This is the story of the Fox Follies because on it's so many challenging the call where Drew Brees actually, you know, threw a ball about 30 yards. And for whatever reason, one of his lackeys up in the press box, you know, said, oh, challenge it. There's no way you can fumble it 30 yards in the air with the spiral.
That was unbelievable.
It was just again, that didn't lose the game. But folks, you have to understand, after how many paper cuts will you start to lose an amount of blood that you can't overcome? And this is what Fox and his conservative, idiotic, you know, way of running a football team. You can't overcome it and find a way to win.
Dan, somebody up in that press box where the Bears coaches are, our geniuses are, somebody told him, throw the flag. Okay? Somebody had to tell him. I know Fox isn't a genius, but the man cannot be that stupid to not converse or talk to his people up in the box. That's why I've said before and we have said before, this coaching staff, my Lord, we've got a defense that seems to be going pretty good. This kid Trubisky kind of looks like the real deal.
If you use him right.
We've got some – exactly, Glenn. And we've got some people here that can do it. But I'm telling you, this coaching staff is not the coaching staff to take us to the promised land. I'll guarantee it.
Well, kudos to the defense. This is the first time Drew Brees has been held without a touchdown pass in, what, 8-9 years? Something crazy like that?
2004, wasn't it? Or so? I mean, I think it was 2009. That's a long time.
8 years. Folks, but again.
We lost the game, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We lost the game against Minnesota for a lot of the same reasons. Silly, idiotic penalties and mistakes and costly play calling. And again, that was the first game Trubisky started. How much better did he look today? Not a whole lot because, and there were spots where there was a couple of passes that were really nice. But there was a lot of times he missed open receivers. He forced and rushed his progressions. And, you know, hey, at the end of the game, Kaz, at that point, it's not score, it's get a first down. It's fourth and one, get a first down.
Third and one, actually.
Well, so they had fourth and one.
They had two downs to get 1 yard and ran two of the dumbest plays I'd ever seen.
Yep.
No offense. I didn't get what they were running there.
And again, all this stuff, folks, this stuff is talked about over cocktails and coffee for 6 months, and they get to training camp, and then they go, oh, this is what we're going to do, and when we're in New Orleans in the fourth quarter, and we've got a four-minute drill where we've got to score. This is what we get. It's not the answers that we need.
Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, which is sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Maryville. Where do you want to go with that, Ham?
Hey, guys, there's no question. If Zach Miller is given, and by the way, just for the record, you guys think I think it was a catch. I do.
You need your eyes examined.
But here's the point.
Well, the ball hit the
ground. I don't like the rule.
But either way.
I hate the rule.
Right.
Oh, this
continue to the rules,
follow
right.
the process or complete the process, all this gobbledygook. It's Roger Goodell nonsense. All I'm saying is, in my mind, that was a touchdown catch. We catch that. It's another game and a new world. For, you know, you're on the road. You defer, let them take the lead. Now we're back in it. Now we are emboldened. They are on their heels. Unfortunately, that was a game-changing moment.
Well, unfortunately, Dan, I couldn't disagree with you more. That was not a catch. All the way through, it was not a catch. And that's, I mean, I know Mike Mueller. I love Mike Mueller. But the game-changing moment, I don't think so.
Mike Mueller is very happy with having a little bit of a disagreement on the game-changing moment. He's okay with that,
OB. I would say this. To me, also, though, one of the moments that swung the game back to the Bears would be the first fumble strip by Jones. I mean, stripping the ball.
Right down close to the goal line. Yeah. They were going in.
Right. They were going in to put this thing away, and he rips it out.
But if Miller makes that catch.
We're down, still down three.
It was a 14-3 game at that point. The touchdown.
No, it would have been 10.
Hey. Yeah, so they would have gotten. It would have gotten to.
But my point is
17-10.
Hey, and then your clown kicker misses a field goal. He's got to make.
Which did I not say? I said, hey, he's going to miss it because about every third time he misses.
But every little bitty mistake only gets magnified when you compound them on top of each other. You know, if you're a great team like Alabama. I watch Alabama on occasion against a lesser team like Arkansas, unfortunately. They can make mistakes, but they're good enough to overcome. We can't make mistakes and overcome them. We're not good enough.
Right.
We're not good enough at the offensive line where we lost both of our guards, both of our tackles, our wish blocking. They can't sustain blocks for any length of time. But ultimately, when the little mistakes are made, boy, it's just they're crippling.
Well, folks, let me tell you something. The way this defense has been playing all year, first half of this season, 8 games, I could tell you something. There's a lot of organizations, New England, Green Bay Packers, would love to have this defense.
You bet.
And why we can't figure this out and take advantage of this defense who finally are getting takeaways but are playing shutdown defense, and they've been doing it for 8 games. Offensively, we don't take advantage of it. We don't do anything. We just play hope and pray offense. All right? Like Howard's going to run. He's going to break a run and go 60 yards. Excuse me. That's not going to happen every game. We're just not that professional football team. And it comes from
especially
the damn
on the,
coaches.
Offense.
I mean, we got receivers that shouldn't even be in this league playing on this team. Come on, let's get real here.
New Orleans' defense was leaving people wide open. If anybody was ready to be had, it was the New Orleans Saints defense. We didn't do it.
We got to see Trey McBride today, 3 catches for 92 yards. He was wide open on every single one.
Because
they
didn't cover him.
Right.
They
got into the trips formation, and New Orleans didn't know who to cover. And they were giving up the inside guy.
If you looked at New Orleans defense, you could just see it, folks. You did watching the game. They didn't know where the hell to line up or who they were going to cover.
They were sloppy and ready.
All game.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on in? We'll take calls after the 3:30 news. Nationwide's on your side. Locally, that's our Jeff Vukovich. Jeff personalizes your insurance needs. He's been doing that for decades. Simply click to jeffvuk.com. Vuk is on your side. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from John Fox. We'll hear from Mitchell Trubisky. Adam Hogue is down in New Orleans. He'll be with us at 4:35 as we digest the Bears, who are 3-5 with the bye week coming. And yes, OB, we'll get to the calls.
Yeah, we got to get to the callers. Well, hang in there, guys.
You got it. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, 312-981-7200. With you on CLTV until 4, on WGN Radio until 6. Nobody has wanted Mitchell Trubisky to play more than everybody in this studio, really everybody in this city. But before we get to the calls in a second here, 14-32 today, guys, 164 yards, threw a pick, quarterback rating under 50, was sacked twice, and just didn't look good, bottom line. So let's ask the question here. Should we be concerned this early in Mitchell Trubisky's career? He is 2-2, but he hasn't had a signature game to speak of.
Well, I'll give you some kind of an answer to that, okay? I'm not worried about Mitchell Trubisky because it looks like he's got the wares, all the wares, and he shows it. When he's given time, he does it. I'm worried about the people tutoring this kid, bringing him along, and the way they're bringing him along. I'm more worried about that than that kid making mistakes.
Kazi?
I'm worried about the evaluation of talent on offense right now. The biggest game player or game breaker on offense right now is
playing for Buffalo?
No. I mean, the point is, regardless, I mean, you're making a joke about that, but They can't find a wide receiver, and the guy they go out and get, he had 2 catches for 7 yards this year. I mean, this is this is what you're talking about. And their inability to identify NFL wide receivers, it's not, you know, look, when nobody's open, they showed it on that third down, and third and one, they showed Trubisky buying time, and they circled it up. This guy's locked down. This guy's locked down. This guy. There was nobody open, and this kid's running around trying to buy time to hope somebody gets open.
Glenn, this is this year with receivers. Last year,
it's been a chronic problem
here.
That's the one problem I would say as you evaluate Ryan Pace, his inability, and I'm talking collectively, his group, right, of player evaluators, the scouts, they cannot identify wide receivers. I don't know why, but they can't do it.
Okay, and not only that, but unfortunately, you know, we don't have a way of –
overcoming or scheming maybe around it.
Essentially, other than, okay, they're supposed to block. But they got two jobs. One, get open, get separation. We were watching, Mark, you and I, we were watching the phony move that
who was that?
Was it Wright?
Yeah,
he
Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright.
Like a guy, you know, delivering beer could have made a better move. He made a double move about 5 yards in front of the corner, and the corner basically was like yawning, saying, "Okay, come on, let's
come on, I'm waiting. Get over here so I can cover you."
Right. This is supposed to be the, you know, our big time secret acquisition over the offseason to really upgrade our wide receivers and this and that. You know, get open, and when you do get open, catch the ball. So, again, back to we'll get to the calls. Don't worry about Trubisky. Worry about the guys that's tutoring him, just as OB said.
Yes.
Bingo.
And the
guy trying
him.
To find receivers to catch the ball.
The guy they traded for this week, Dontell Inman, who they gave up a 7th-round draft pick, was inactive today.
He had
today.
A good year the year before.
So we'll see on that. And then Deontay Thompson, of course, went off to Buffalo after they cut him. Had 4 catches last week for 107 yards. He caught one ball today for 5 yards. I'm not saying Deontay Thompson is the answer, but the optics of that are pretty bad when somebody leaves.
Well, yeah, somebody leaves and all of a sudden they have 5 more catches than they did here.
Yeah.
What does that say about your coaching staff,
system,
or the receiver coach, or your offensive coordinator? That's not the player anymore. You said it at system.
Let's get some calls in here. Steve, you've been waiting patiently in Crest Hill. Welcome to 720 WGN and CLTV. Go ahead, Steve.
Guys, love the show. It's absolutely great entertainment. I want to talk a couple things. John Fox and Connor Barth. John Fox, you know, we can argue all day long, catch, no catch on Zach Miller. My point is, why don't he go out there and show some support for his team, get in somebody's grill like Coach Ditka would, and show some support for your guys that are doing battle for you about that call? And number two is, how long are they going to put up with Connor Barth? This is ludicrous. This is ridiculous. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Steve. What do you say, Kazi?
Well, I mean, look, you want your coach to fight for you and demand. And, you know, you saw Sean Payton actually burned a timeout in the fourth quarter because he couldn't believe that they made that back judge made that call against his defensive back where clearly there was no face mask. So he burned a timeout. I think that's what John's talking about, right? But as far as Barth goes, he has been inconsistent since he's gotten here, Dan. Every week they run in a couple of kickers, and apparently, again, same problem. We can't find kickers, apparently, and we cannot find wide receivers.
Well, you nailed the Connor Barth miss today. You told everybody sitting there, this is the time that he's going to... Yeah.
Well, about every third or fourth time he misses. Yeah. I mean, it's just a lack of consistency, the way he approaches the ball. He slides his plant foot sometimes. Now, think about this, right? Ed, I'm saying this, and I'm just casually watching a kicker.
Well, I saw...
I could coach that kid right now better than whoever they got coaching him. Just watching him in games, I could tell you when he's going to miss.
I saw it the way you saw it, but I put it in different words. No chance.
Yes, that's what you said.
That's what I said. No chance.
Say it
ain't going to happen.
But again, the contrast, I still remember to this day when Tom Coughlin was up in Green Bay on that frigid day, and he was, I mean, he almost single-handedly willed his team to victory and then went on and won a Super Bowl because of the coach and the engagement. You know, every time they show Fox, he's over there fooling around with his headset switch.
What?
You know, don't. How'd you like to be at home with him with the remote and trying to watch TV? God.
Well, I don't think whatever would be on, that's all it would be, because he wouldn't know how to change it.
Let me tell you something.
That you channel guys, would be, it could be a, and it would still be there.
The only bowl game that we got to look forward to is the Toilet Bowl in Flushing, New York. No, that's if we qualify, and I think we got a shot at it.
He'd call up the cable company, is my vision, for not knowing how to turn on the TV. It's a challenge that the, some you. I paid my bill. Why am I
not getting another channel?
Hey, Bears had a ton of injuries today, too, that we haven't mentioned. Kyle Long went out with a left-hand finger. It was in a cast on the sidelines. Bryce Callahan hurt his knee. Zach Miller, who we did mention, probably out for the season, if not his career. Left leg, his knee. Cody Whitehair got injured as well with his elbow. Josh Sitton had to slide over to play center. So it was not a good day on the field as far as staying healthy.
So, you know, and on one hand you say, oh, they lost again, and let's you know, there's a lot of stuff there that tells you, hey, they're overcoming a lot of obstacles, injuries, you know, moving, shuffling players, this and that, wide receivers that started for you now cut, now you're getting people, you know, in trade. All I'm saying is, all those things being said, wow, just think if we had a true system offensive coordinator that believes in doing, you know, certain things with certain abilities. The abilities that this kid Trubisky has is unlike anything that Mike Glennon had. And so you have to almost rebuild the offense and the play calling chart, all those things, because you've got a different cat. And he's got a lot of different skills. And yet, okay, we're running basically a lot of the same things. But you know what? Early on, they tried to get him out of the pocket a little bit. But you know what? The Saints, they did a pretty good job of not allowing him to make big plays.
You know what, Danny and everybody, to your listeners, football is an aggressive football. I mean, it's called – it's aggressive. Your defense, you've got to have an aggressive defense. As in the offense, and you have a quarterback in Trubisky who knows the system by now. He has the physical ability and, to me, obviously, the mental capacity to handle a situation. You can't wait till the 14th game. You can't wait till the 12th game or the 16th game to get aggressive and go after people. The kid is here. We worried about planning for the future? It's now. Get this kid going. Let's get aggressive. For God's sakes, let's make – act like we know what the hell we're doing.
Well, he was rough on himself after last game, saying he was bad, and then they showed him at the very end of the game today with Dal Loggins just having a conversation with him. Looked like he was beside himself. We'll hear from him coming up. But
he's upset about that last interception.
Right. Right. So
clearly.
And as he should be, you know, he's
wasn't a great throw, he threw it a little high.
Right. All right, quick timeout. We'll get to your calls coming back here. 312-981-7200. We're on CLTV until 4 o'clock and then WGN till 6. Well, yes.
What I mean by aggressive, all you gotta do is look at Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, not anymore, but anyway, and Tom Brady. You watch their offenses, you think they're not aggressive?
No, they're always trying to score.
They're attacking you play after play after play, no matter if they're on 20-yard line or on your 20-yard line.
We have not seen that with Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears play calling quite yet. You're absolutely
You'll never
correct.
See it with this coaching staff. Never.
312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Saints beat the Bears 20-12. Bears are 3-5. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. My name is Mark Harmon, with you till 6 tonight, and with you on CLTV for about 10 more minutes as well. Let's get some calls rolling in here as there's reactions to John Fox and what's going on with the Bears coaching, Mitchell Trubisky, and where the Bears go with getting him a little bit more established, let's put it that way. But we'll start with the coaching staff here, and who do I got here up top? I think it's Anthony in Mount Prospect. What's up, Anthony? Thanks for being patient.
Hey, no problem. Another heartbreaking Sunday to watch the Bears. I got just two things to say real quick. That Zach Miller catch, that was a catch. I know some people don't think so, but I think it was. The second thing is Hamp OB. I agree with you guys. The reason why they're not aggressive with Trubisky moving forward here is because they have a failed coach, John Fox. They have a failed system. If you want to develop Trubisky, Howard, and Cohen, you got to build an O-line. You got to find receivers, and you got to find a coaching staff that is aggressive, that wants to build these guys, that wants to go to the Super Bowl and win it. You can't win with Fox. He's 12-28. You know, he's done. He's past his prime. He's got to get out. The next coach is, I think, either John Gruden's got to come off announcing, and John Gruden's got to be out the next head coach, or Hampton. You got to coach.
Thanks, Anthony. Hampo, are you taking the job?
Nope. And
nor is John Gruden, yeah, we hope. Rings, at least you had us, Anthony, up until that point.
Let me tell you something.
We don't want him.
There's a very good reason why Dan would be a horrible coach.
What would that be?
There'd be nobody left on the field.
Didn't you leave Hamp all by himself today, yeah, OB, when he was trying to get in the studio?
Hey, that's another. We'll
tell that story
now
in the third hour.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Whoa. Hey, I made it inside and I thawed out, so it's okay.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
He had his lip was quivering.
Anthony made a great point.
I had to take care of this guy for 40 years.
You know, here we're screaming, close, don't cut it. Close, don't, you know, feed the bulldog. Well, think about this. That Atlanta game, a play or two away. Josh Bellamy catching the ball. We're a play away from winning. Think about the other games that we've lost. The Minnesota game, you know, up until the two-minute warning, we're basically tied. And we just make a play here and there if we had a receipt. And then, of course, the loss today. You know, a play or two here. If the Zach Miller was a catch, what if, you know, we were able to – all I'm saying is, you know, I hope – that everybody, and Obey, you walked in, threw a bunch of newspapers at me on the table and said, oh, I've been reading about it, the greatest general manager, the greatest players, the greatest young quarterback, Fox is a genius. So I hope everybody doesn't become deluded by all these near misses and close calls that, oh, we're just a player or two away. We don't want to go any further down the road with you-know-who, folks.
Well, there was a lot of positive Ryan Pace pieces out this week. And I think
brutal.
Right? And so, at least from my perspective, the key to Ryan Pace, right, is Mitchell Trubisky. And if Mitchell Trubisky is struggling like he did today, there's no way he can – that will – if
Enemy
there's any
– rides on Mitch Trubisky.
Right. So if there's any doubt about John Fox coming back, if Trubisky struggles and you want Fox out, that's actually good for the Fox – or for the wanting Fox out equation, correct?
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
When it comes to Pace, the general manager, let's not start putting a genius label on him, or he's a great general manager, or he has great sight into the future of who can draft, who can do this. Start winning some games. Let the words be Super Bowl that comes out of your mouth. That's what it's about. And until then, you know who's a genius on this team, coaching staff, and in the front office? Nobody. Nobody. For Christ's sake, we can't win a football game.
They've got to upgrade offensively, especially coaching-wise. They've got to come into the 21st century.
You get tired of hearing about this guy. Oh, what a courageous move.
I'm saying,
a genius
move. You got to upgrade.
My
you gotta
God.
You got to get guys, offensive-minded coach that will be aggressive and look at talent around it, him and what he has, and fit. His system should fit his players, not his
exactly.
system.
No. Well, let's guess what? Let's start calling things what they are, okay? You're paying people up in that front office and these coaches millions of dollars, okay?
And they wouldn't keep their job anywhere else, in any other business. You're right.
No argument, Obi. 312-981-7200. Robert in Dallas wants to talk about the play calling. Robert, thanks for calling us from Big D. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Another disappointing loss. My whole thing is just our play calling, man, and the personnel that we roll out there. Like, I saw today a lot of times where, you know, we were in one wide receiver, you know, two tight end, you know, with the fullback set. We've got Kenner Gentry out there as our one wide receiver. You know, like, how does this guy get on the field, you know, to be, you know, that number one receiver role? You know, like, why are we rolling out shotgun with Burton, the fullback, back there? You know, like, this makes no sense to me that they're setting this kid up to fail. You know, that you're putting guys out there that can't play. Like Burton, I mean, he shouldn't even have a roster spot. We got, what, five tight ends on the team? You know, like one of those tight ends, you know, could go back there and play that fullback spot, you know, and I feel like we'd be better off for it.
You're right, Robert. And here's the other thing. You know, Jordan Howard, he's a great runner. But we've been talking about this since he's been here. He's not a great pass receiver, pass catcher. And they actually run a pretty good play to him in the flat that would have been a touchdown, but he just flats out drops it.
If it was Benny Cunningham or even Cohen. But here's the thing, and we don't want to knock the kid, you know. Hey,
no, that's I'm not knocking. I'm just saying bad situations. Bad call for him.
Personnel groupings, and that's Robert's point. Tanner Gentry in there at the goal line. Everybody at the 88,000 in the damn stands knows you're not throwing it to this guy. So what are they going to do? Well, it's going to be some kind of a bootleg drag back to the tight end, or they're going to run it. One of two things. So why do we make it easy for the defenses when everybody in the stands knows exactly what's going to happen? Again, look, Dow Loggins, I had full disclosure. He was at Arkansas. Oh, I like the guy. I've talked to him many times. I was hoping for more. I expected better. It ain't working. It ain't going to be. It ain't going to be getting better anytime soon. If this is the type of game plan that he thinks will be successful as we move forward,
3-1. I'll say it again one more time. Stop everybody in this town who has the right to write articles or whatever. Stop talking about people are great, courageous. They're wonderful. They're this. They're that. We're not winning. Folks, we're not winning. If it could have been this, if it could have been that, if we should have done this, nothing happens. Excuse me. One more thing, and I've said this before. I think if you go back 5 years, 6 years, somewhere there, the New England Patriots, folks, lost 13 starters. 13. You know who won the Super Bowl that year? The New England Patriots.
312-981-7200. Thanks to our friends at CLTV with you on WGN Radio until 6 o'clock. We'll hear from the head coach, John Fox. We'll get you some Mitchell Trubisky as well. We'll talk to you, and we'll have Adam Hoke from the Superdome as well.
Were we supposed to dress up with Halloween costumes today?
Didn't you say you were going to do that? You were out there.
I came as a has-been.
Are you going to fire at me again?
Oh, yeah, the cat burglar.
Yes.
Snuck in.
The sneaky,
I sat outside for an hour
burglar,
waiting for him
too.
To let
not
me
just
in.
A cat burglar. Shivering, sneaky
and the
one.
Cat burglar came in without me, undetected by me.
Give me a break.
I'm looking at the door for an hour. I don't know. The cat burglar made it in.
It's a very rough start for the show today.
You know what, though? He had eaten all of his sandwiches. Yeah. He had a couple apple pies. Ed was comfortable.
And I look up on the seventh floor. He's eating a sandwich looking down at me.
And grinning.
And that sandwich was from a good old Mr. Submarine. It was delicious, was it not, OB? Good food at a tasty price.
Absolutely. I tell you, every time, I tell you, they're great. They really are.
That's Mr. Submarine. Visit MrSubmarine.com. Dive into deliciousness. 312-981-7200. Quick timeout. We'll get you in the news. 720 WGN.
Trubisky intercepted. Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore returns it across midfield, and that'll ice it for New Orleans.
WGN. It is the second hour of Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 312-981-7200. Just let me be clear before I make this point. Mitchell Trubisky may turn out to be a great quarterback, and the Bears may have made the correct move trading their third-round pick, their fourth-round pick, and their 2018 third-round pick to move up one spot to get him. But just for the record, Deshaun Watson, who was picked 9 spots lower to the Houston Texans, has 15 touchdown passes in the last 5 games. That's the most by any rookie ever over a 5-game span. And he has a ridiculous throw today on a dime, 61 yards to Will Fuller, that will make you want him on your team.
The Legion of Doom is powerless to stop him. He's got 3 touchdowns now already.
Right, right. He's rolling over
Seattle. I'm just telling you, it's pretty startling because they had a system in place, and they plugged this kid in, but they had a couple of receivers, Hopkins and Fuller.
Yeah.
Very good. Fuller killed us in the opener last year.
Well, you know another thing they had? They knew what quarterback they wanted.
Yeah, and they didn't
trade. They knew exactly what quarterback they wanted. The kid was a proven winner, and we move up a spot. that as far the knowledge that I have from around, that nobody had Mitch Trubisky rated number one quarterback, or they had him rated number one in the draft or number two in the draft. Nobody but us.
Well, the Bears knew they wanted him. They just might be wrong. They wanted him, clearly. Hey, Who Brought It Today is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. Hampa, who do you got?
Well, we thought about Jordan Howard. He went over 100, but guess what? 23 carries, 102 yards. You take a 50-yarder away, that means the rest of the day it was pop gun.
Right.
Now, we're going to go with Danny Trevathan, 13 tackles. Another 3 weeks in a row, he's the best defensive player in the game.
Yeah, I guess good what you're saying, by the way, OB. The Bears were like the only ones that were willing to do that. Sitting up there
after signing Glennon for right. $50 million.
That's the crime.
Yeah.
If I could use that word.
Sure.
How could anybody, ownership, let him go out? And I'm sure they had to talk to owners before they went out and made that free agency move with Glennon and give him that 45-point-some-odd-million contract guaranteed, $18.5 million this year, and then to turn around and give away the draft and half of planet Earth to move up to get Trubisky? You think there isn't a problem? And you think there isn't a problem in that front office?
Nope. I read in the paper that they're great.
Right.
312.
Well, yeah, the newspaper guy said he's
yeah.
courageous.
Shots of him looking, staring off into space, our general manager, like,
well, he's
greatness is exuding from him.
Courageous.
312-981-7200. Let's talk to Steve, who wants to talk about the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, in Edgewater. What's up, Steve? Welcome to WGN.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to touch on. Number one, the only job you can keep, the only, occupation you can keep your job with repeatedly making wrong predictions is probably a weatherman, you know. So maybe Ryan Pace should be a weatherman. And then I think as far as winning a Super Bowl, I think the Bears may have actually won their Super Bowl. It was called Carolina, you know. It's just we have a different
different
thing, but
version of it, right? I got
right,
you.
Right, right. But for the most part, I think when they pick Ryan Pace as general manager, that most businesses they look for somebody that's proven, at least in that particular business, it might be a different type of business, but in the same occupation. And Ryan Pace had no basic, he had some credentials, I guess, under some perfect people, but he never really
experience. Yeah.
Right. And so, and just like you were saying with Deshaun Watson, how could it be that here's someone that basically nobody had heard of? Deshaun Watson at least had been in two championships, won one of them. Now here's a guy that wasn't even number one in his conference, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he'd only played. He had 13 starts. Watson
right.
had 4 years of starts, basically, and you had 4 years right. of viewing this
Steve,
kid play on a big stage.
And
he won a national championship.
Right. The number one quarterback coming out of college.
Right. Thanks, Steve.
And then as far as receivers, I think that at least with the Bears, I know it's some time ago, but in even most teams that have you got. At least to try to open up the field, you got a speedster with some world-class speed, maybe two guys that not so fast, but at least can catch the ball, run routes and things like that know how to find an opening and things like that. So the Bears is like they will run three or four plays and throw it once or twice and hope something happens and kind of, hang up a prayer and see what happens for the most part.
No
right.
rhyme or
we got you, Steve.
No rhyme
That's
or
a good call,
offense.
Steve. Thank you.
There's not. And here's the thing. Most teams in the league would kill to have a defense playing this well.
Oh.
Most teams would kill to have a running game and a running back like Jordan Howard.
How about Green Bay?
Yeah, yeah. Far superior to what Green Bay. But you know what? We're losers, and they win.
That's an excellent point. The Packers would kill for this defense. Aaron Rodgers.
There's not a running game.
Yeah. There's not
Didn't
a team in the league
this
that
about half an
it.
Hour ago?
Right.
We should rewind that tape.
Yes.
OB was.
Well, you know what though? He snuck it out there really sneaky, right, Dan? He kind of snuck it out there. None of us heard him say it.
I mean, I didn't hear it again.
Because he's a cat burglar. He just snuck on in.
Well, let me tell you about the cat burglar.
We're outside trying to get in.
Do not fool with the cat burglar.
All right, let's hit it.
Words to live by. John in Spring Grove wants to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. Go ahead, John. You're on WGN.
Yeah, it was tough watching the Chicago Browns today. But in regards to Mitchell, you know, what I can't really see when I'm watching the game is the full screen. So, you know, I like the kid, and I'm hoping the receivers just suck that bad. But when he sits there in the pocket, he's got to let that ball fly and not worry about the repercussions of an interception. The kid's got to develop. But unless I'm seeing it wrong, he's just hanging on to that ball way too long. It just seems like 1, 2, 3, shoot. It's got to fly. Thanks. And he's just doing like the curly shuffle out there in the pocket and waiting for somebody to get wide open. And we know in the NFL that just doesn't happen, and there's timing routes.
Well, so John,
either it's like what Ed said, lack of practice, and this is still all preseason to him, or the kid's just not there. He's just not talented.
Thanks, John.
I just can't
appreciate
tell.
You. Got you.
Yeah, John, here's what I tell you. Again, they actually highlighted one play. It was a 3rd and 6, and they, you know, you had this big screen shot, and he rolls out, and he's buying time, and nobody, I repeat, nobody had separated even enough to where you could try and throw the ball to a back shoulder or anywhere.
Try to force
I mean,
it
they
in.
Were just locked down. So I think part of it sometimes he does hang on to it too long because he's still learning how to play the game because we haven't turned him loose. The other part is he's not – these receivers and the backs aren't getting open, tight ends. They can't separate from the coverage.
A combination of all the above. But here's the one thing. If he would have been starting and playing in the preseason, this would have been his 4th preseason game, essentially, OB. So, you see what we're saying? You don't do your work in the camp and in the preseason games, well, you're going to pay for it down the road.
Very well said. Very well said.
And he sat out the first 4 weeks, too. They didn't even play him in the first 4 weeks.
I know.
We had to watch the statue stand there and get pummeled.
And then when they did play him in an exhibition game, they played against the kids that aren't even in football.
There was
and
nobody.
That's why everybody's running around. Oh, my God, look at him. He's running around. He's completing passes against people that are not even in the league.
Well, when they let him start, all they let him do was hand the ball off.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, like, they have slowed him down and haven't allowed him to succeed.
You got a thoroughbred there, and guess what? They're holding him back. Holding him back.
Maybe. He's like, yeah, you have a thoroughbred that you're plowing your field with. And I know Dan knows you don't do that to a thoroughbred.
That's exactly correct.
Nope.
Well, and maybe the coaching staff doesn't think he's a thoroughbred. Maybe there's a disconnect there. Who knows? 312-981-7200. We'll get to more calls coming right back here. Adam Hogue from the Superdome in New Orleans at 4:30.
We have the callers to hold in there.
We sure do, OB. They will be up next. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Hamp and OB with Kaz till 6, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Give the ball to Neil Anderson. Let's go back in the day. 720 WGN, Hampton will be with Kaz with you till 6-312-981-7200. All right, so it's late in the game. It's 3rd and 1. The Bears need a yard to keep the game going. Mitchell Trubisky back to pass, incomplete, intended for Kendall Wright. And then 4th and 1, they let Trubisky throw again, and it's an awful play, and it's nowhere close, and the game's over.
They just shut it all down. All these quick routes that the New Orleans Saints jumped, and there was nowhere to go.
Here's the irony of this coaching staff. The time that they should have ran the football
they throw
to get that first down, they throw.
It's incredible, right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I get it on, you know, if you're going to throw it on 3rd down and 1, take your shot, but maybe run a deeper route than just a little tight, little short crossing route.
Yeah, but Glenn, you got a banger back there that can run that football.
I agree.
you know, get him behind.
But fourth and one is when you give it to him and let him get you the first down, absolutely. And then, you know, spike it, and you got three more downs to get 10 yards.
And move on. But the time they should have ran it, I'll be diddly damned. They turn around, and what do? They pass it.
And a dumb route. Dan, you and I talked about it. It just didn't make any sense.
Well, you know, I don't think there is a route that you can draw up for poor receivers to get open. Obviously, we're very, very neutered at that position, and so everything is compromised because of it. But ultimately, you know, I mean, simple is, it's scoring, yeah, we want to – but get the first down, get a new set of downs, and why doesn't the offensive coordinator realize that and just hand it off? Okay, on fourth down, then at least give him a run-pass option, don't put him in a drop back. And with receivers getting jammed at the line of scrimmage where nobody's getting open. So, yeah, I mean, and again, what if? It's always back to the same old thing ever since this Fox showed up in town.
What if?
Guess what? It's close. No cigar.
You know what? It's so simple. So if you're going to give it to Howard and two downs to get a yard and the defense knows it, let's stack it up. The point being, stop it. Something that you do well. This kid runs well into the middle of the line. He does. He runs the 2-4 gap, the 5-6, the 7-8. He runs those gaps real well. And if he's going to run, if he's going to come, stop him. And then give yourself daylight that you can – make and move, get your quarterback out and get something done.
Part of the problem, though, too, is we had wasted a timeout on a challenge call also. That's the crux of this also, and we forget
that
about
was your
that.
Stupidity. That's the only way you can put it.
Yeah. Okay.
312-981-7200. Brent in Sullivan wants to talk about the entire organization as a whole. Go ahead there, Brent.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a point. They need personnel that the Chicago Cubs have. They need an organization like that. They can get something accomplished. I agreed with everything you all have said.
Thanks, Brent. It's interesting that you just said that because, like, one thing where I was thinking about the Cubs in relation to the Bears, say the Cubs on replays this year are incredible. Every time they go for a replay, they're always right every single time. The Bears go for a replay. It's like the worst challenge in the history of football.
They're horrendous, right? They're horrendous on it.
The bungler in midseason form. Hey, let me just say this, just to kind of put a little. Now, folks, think about this. To kind of put an exclamation point on the fact that this offense, its design, and the personnel that we are trying to utilize is all Bass Ackwards. Look at this. Last week, we ran 37 offensive plays. Tanner Gentry took 33 of those snaps. 33 of them.
That
Tanner Gentry.
Sense.
Who the hell is Tanner Gentry? We know, but he's nobody. This kid, Tariq Cohen, he had 7 plays last week. It should have been the other way. You got your only home run hitter standing over there, you know, handing the Gatorade to Dal Loggins while, you know, the dock worker's out on the field all day. This is nuts.
You know what, folks? The things that Dan just went through and Glenn and Mark, and we talking about here, you know, we're not just throwing a dart up on a board somewhere. And wherever it lands, you know, you go after it. I'm telling you, this situation here, I tell you what, you think these players don't know it?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure.
Glenn,
they...
you think these players don't know it?
I would hope so. They
sitting there and saying they just called what to do what?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Well, they basically openly campaigned for Mitchell Trubisky earlier in the year, and they got that, so I'm sure they're well aware of what's going on as far as the play call.
Players know. Players understand.
Yeah. Of course.
But but think about this. That's like having your, you know, 370 percentile hitter only play in the ninth inning, and you got, you know, the other guy striking out all day. Your home run hitter, Tariq Cohen, was on the field for a total of 7 plays. One of those 7 plays, you remember what happened?
78-yard pass.
70-yard pass.
Or 70, whatever. He was 75.
You know what?
Kudos. It's almost like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we don't... You know, you brought this up. That Doug Buffone, the great Doug Buffone, God bless his soul. One day he blew up and he said, I don't think they want to win. It's like they're trying to be self-defeating. And in a way, this is almost maddeningly self-defeating. You put your dock worker out there all day, and you only put your good, you know, your run hitter out there for seven plays.
Your playmaker.
Explain
sit on
that.
The bench. Sit yeah. on the bench with me, you know, playmaker.
I remember when Doug did that, and I never know what the hell Doug was going to say, nor did he know what I was going to say. But I'll tell you what he did, though. He went after first time, and he even told me that he's talking about doing this. He said, I hate to do this. He said, and then one day, bang, what I'm talking about, folks, he went after ownership, saying that they did not want to win. And then he put it to music, 1 ABC, 2 ABC, why he said that. And he said, this is a hard, hard thing for me to do. But that's what he did do. He said, they don't want to.
Let's get one more call in here before we get to Adam Hogue after the 4:30 news. Henry in Blue Island, you want to talk about the play calling? Go ahead, Henry. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? First time I'm calling in. On that 4th and 1, what did you guys think about that call? Because I thought they would maybe roll him out on that play and, you know, let him maybe pass and or run for it. That's my comment.
Give him a run-pass option, yeah. But at the very least, hand the damn thing off, get a first down.
Right, you can't.
It's nuts.
Yeah, you can't win the game without getting another set of downs, no matter what. Right, so anything would have worked, but a play action boot is better than just booting him out.
Well, how much do you think
or rolling him out?
How much do you think Long being out and Whitehair being out
impacted
that call?
It doesn't matter.
I'm not saying
it shouldn't matter at all. Actually, the snap and shotgun was coming back better. Let's just call it what it is.
I like sitting at center.
Okay.
We're better.
Okay.
call it what. You know, Kyle Long's, he was a great player 3 years ago. He's almost, you know, injuries make everyone mortal.
Right.
Let's just say that.
You know, that's the problem. You know, you get one guy, and I'm going to tell you something. He's probably talking to himself right now. He gets nicked up more and more the last, 3 years now? And he's got to be getting a little sick and a little tired of it, because I'll tell you, when that kid is on, there's nobody better in the offensive line than
him.
He's
a beast when he's,
when he's
healthy,
on,
Kyle Long will get after
it. He can take care of, he can carry the mail, he can handle it, but he's been all these nicks and little injuries. And I'll tell you, it takes your toll physically, but also takes a toll on your mind, your brain.
Okay, one last thing. Kyle Fuller, who's been playing like an all-pro today, was his worst game. He was not in the mode of
beast
that
mode.
He's been. So
he's been reading the papers.
Yeah, I think so. He's been reading all about how great you and Ryan Pace are.
Look, let's talk to Adam Hogue down in New Orleans coming up here right after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, if you're just getting in the car, did the Bears win today? No, they did not. New Orleans beat the Bears 20-12. The Bears are 3-5 into their bye week, so no game next Sunday. And then the Green Bay Packers come into Soldier Field on November the 12th. Noon kickoff will be with you at 3 o'clock.
Adam, we will beat the Packers.
Okay.
We will.
We got it. Hey, Brett Hundley starting, you got a shot. There's no doubt about it.
So. I don't know how. But we will beat them.
All right. I like the optimism, OB. Let's bring in Adam Hogue, who was down covering the game, of course, in New Orleans. Rough day, Hoagie, obviously, for the Bears health-wise. And I guess the start is Zach Miller and his future. What do you know about that? And what was the reaction as far as the touchdown, no touchdown? I didn't think he caught the ball as far as the NFL goes, but go ahead with everything on Zach.
Are you blind?
He didn't control it. He did not control it, in my opinion.
I thought he caught it, too.
Here's what the rule is. And that basically the problem here is that the rule continues to be stupid and makes no sense. The deal is, Carl Cheffers, the referee, did talk to a pool reporter after the game, which we requested from the press box right when this play happened. So he did address it. And basically, if you look at the play, Zach Miller catches the ball, goes to the ground, rolls over on his back, and still has it secured at that point. Now, this is now a full second or so into the fact, into the reaction of him dislocating his knee and probably tearing multiple ligaments in that knee. So at that point, he's on the ground, he still has the ball, and he has ripped up his knee. He then basically places the ball on the ground as he goes to grab his knee. And by the NFL's standard for making a catch, It's at that point when he lets the ball go on the ground, and the replay does show at that point that he pretty much lets the ball go, like any player does at the end of a play, it's an incomplete pass because he did not secure it all the way. It's basically what Calvin Johnson did at Soldier Field, what was that, 7 or 8 years ago and now at this point, where yep. he just put the ball on the ground and it's incomplete. It's an idiotic rule, but they continue to maintain it for whatever reason, and it was a huge moment in this game.
Exactly what I'm saying. Unfortunately, with their rules,
though, it was, you know, their rules are what they are, and they're going to call it a drop, right? I mean, I wouldn't argue it either, other than as, you know, we said, hey, you know, the way the rule reads, they're going to call it an incomplete pass. And it's horrible because, you know, I mean, that was a horrendous injury. So you almost want, you know, you want if he's going to make that play and make that catch and. And get that kind of an injury, give him the benefit of the doubt right. on it. But, you know, that's the rule, unfortunately.
For the record, I create a new rule. If you rip up your knee, you don't have to – I mean, you should be able
to – You don't have to complete the process?
Even if you dropped it, it should be a catch. But,
right.
But,
well, it's like at some point there should be some common sense with this.
No question.
What's amazing, and you correct me if I'm wrong because you guys were watching the TV broadcast. I wasn't, but I did see a video of Dean Blandino's explanation on the Fox broadcast. Dean Blandino's really a person to blame for all this catch-no-catch nonsense, and he thought he completed it all the way to the ground.
He did say that. He did say that, yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, let's talk for a second. I mean, again, there's going to be opinions on that. Everybody will have one. They didn't rule it a catch. And you know what? This is a serious injury just because of, you know, the way the knee went and the leg went. It, you know, it's not built to go that way. So this is serious stuff. But let's talk about Kyle Long and also Whitehair as well. Two guys that, you know, as the game went along, they were out. Kyle Long, what was the injury report on Kyle?
Kyle messed up one of his fingers. I believe I'm not sure which fingers. Someone said pinky. It's definitely one of his fingers, and that was a coach's decision to go with Tom Compton, the healthier player, than Kyle Long with kind of a busted, wrapped-up hand that I think they may have had in a club. Maybe you guys got a better look from the
Yeah, no, it looked like a cast, right?
Okay, right. Yeah. I apologize. The Superdome press box is an amazing place. It's located basically from space to the field, and I could only see half the field. It was an amazing experience today trying to watch this game. It wasn't easy, but excuses aside, it was kind of hard to see some of those things. So anyway, it was I think the important thing there was a coach's decision, not Kyle Long refusing to play or anything. And then with Cody Whitehair, it was his elbow. Both of those guys were in the locker room afterwards. They don't seem like serious injuries. And with a bye week, I would say there's a decent chance to go back for the Packers.
Adam Hogue with us from the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Hampo.
Okay, Adam, we've had a lot of calls. Basically, and it was our assertion that, okay, all right, it's a fourth game for Mitchell Trubisky. Not only does it look like, yeah, he's not progressing, but I'm saying, hey, he is rushing his progressions and questioning his decision. So it's like he's not really believing what he's seeing, and then he's questioning what he thinks he sees. Now, obviously, you know, with our receivers, and Fox did a good job today of saying, hey, look, you can't blame the quarterback when nobody's open. It's a combination. It's hand in glove. If they don't get open, you can't throw it. You know, I mean, or you'd be a fool. But at some point, don't you see what we see, which is Trubisky's saying every throw is basically going to be a contested ball, so I got to force it sooner or later, but I don't want to force it. So much of the time, he's holding on to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. It's hard to evaluate given the personnel he has. But, you know, there's only so many excuses because we're also seeing plays where guys are open, and there were a couple of those today. And, you know, he admitted that the interception at the end of the game was just a poor throw on his part. He overthrew him. And we did see an overthrow to Tariq Cohen earlier in the game, and actually I thought on that play, I think it was Kendall Wright was streaking down the right side of the field wide open for maybe a touchdown. So there's a couple misses, and I agree that there's, you know, there's an issue there probably with how he's seen the field, but you also have to look at the valid excuses of guys not being open. Many times in this game, he didn't have great pass protection. So it's not an ideal situation for a rookie to go into, which I think goes back to the decision to play him over Mike Glennon. But we also all agree that it had to be made at that point because Glennon was just so bad. And there are moments when you come back to the end of this game where he, you know, the big run he has to keep that drive going late in the game, 45 yards, obviously not a play Mike Glennon can make. So we're seeing a lot of good, a lot of bad, and I think it's just a rookie that's going to have to continue to work this stuff out with not an ideal situation in front of him.
Did John Fox explain why he challenged a ball where Drew Brees clearly threw it about 30 yards down the field?
Tight spiral, I might add. It was a weird challenge.
It was. I think the reasoning there, and you can agree or disagree with it, was they needed a turnover badly. And looking at it live, it looked close. Obviously, once you saw the close-up replay, Drew Brees' hand was moving forward. The question I actually have for you guys, because I never got a good replay, was that Mark Ingram actually a fumble, or was he on the ground? Because I thought that was maybe a play that John Fox could have counted.
They ruled him, up off the ground. We thought Ingram's knee was on the ground, and that it should have been, a non-fumble play. But obviously, everything we thought, well, at least I thought, was the wrong way.
I didn't get. You're talking about why Sean Payton didn't challenge, correct? Correct, Adam.
No, I'm talking about the play where Kyle Fuller upended. I believe it was Mark Ingram along the sideline, and he lost control of the ball as he hit the ground, but. There was a lot of people tweeting at me saying that he lost it when Kyle Fuller hit him, and it was actually in the air.
Okay, I don't. To be honest, I don't remember that play, so I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I don't. You know what, Adam? I think that, like always, one of the big issues, and you could say debate, but the Bears coaching staff and John Fox is the worst challenge coach maybe in the history of the NFL, at least based off of this season.
They're challenged.
This guy is challenged on his challenges all the time. So it's not even a debate if it was right or wrong. He's never right on these challenges. I mean, never. And they always seem to be at the wrong time.
And you're saying this just two coaches removed from Lovie Smith.
Right.
Got any of them right.
Right. That's what I'm saying, Adam. It's scary. But
Good old days of Lovie's challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the look on, can somebody please teach him how to work his headset so he could keep it on and not look like he's fumbling with it all the time also? I mean, these are little things that maybe those little details mean a lot. Maybe that would help him.
Yeah. It does seem like that headset, he's always ripping it on and off his head. I don't know.
And it's only a one earpiece, so it's not like he has to rip it off to hear the calls or anything, right?
You know, if there was one play, I think there's a lot of play that could just tell you kind of basically what kind of year we've had so far, and that was John Fox on that challenge. My God.
It defined common sense.
That defines how this year is.
Well, normally a challenge takes like, a minute, 2 minutes. That was like 13 seconds.
Yeah. No chance. Okay, let's move on.
And the other thing about it, Adam, he's talking to his genius coaches up in the box.
Yeah, who's up there?
And they're the ones that told him, hey, you got to challenge this after all that time. And then he throws it out and they tell him to challenge. And you don't think we have a problem with this coaching staff? Jesus.
I mean, who is he hiring up there? They'd be like, you're right, John. Let's challenge that. Challenge. It's like, seems
well,
like.
Well, I'll clear that up with him tomorrow because sometimes these coaches do just kind of go rogue based on the situation and just they think they see something. So it ultimately comes down to the head coach. It's not always based on the information he's getting, but we'll have to clear that up tomorrow.
Okay. Well, here, Adam, one more thing. That's what you just said is it. That's it. It's his coaches. It's him. And, my God, you just got to look over the last eight games, the decisions that they've made. It's more than laughable. It really is.
Hey, Adam, I just want to know, okay, they were able to win two games. Now, this was the big step. Can you do three in a row? This is, you know, hey, can we travel? Can we make enough plays to win? Now, we got pretty close. In fact, one of the Saint players texted me a minute ago and said that the Bears were the most physical team they played all year, yet it was confounding how poorly coached they are. That's basically what the player told me. And it was almost like a theme that the Saints had, which was the Bears would beat themselves somehow, some way. And we did. Do you get a sense of that frustration from Akiem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, all these guys, because we're squandering some really good defensive efforts? Because if New Orleans was beatable at home, Drew Brees was beatable today.
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question, Hamp. And I did talk to Danny Trevathan in the locker room, and I asked him, look, you're a 3-5 team, but this defense is not playing like a 3-5 team. Nope. I mean, they're at least the opposite, if not better. So, you know, is there some frustration that's got to be set in? Of course, he said the politically correct thing. It just says, hey, look, we got to rally together as a defense and get the offense back the ball as many times as possible. But it has to be frustrating. And it does come down to just these little things. I mean, obviously, you can't control what happened on the Zach Miller play. That's unfortunate, and that's just adversity that you somehow got to overcome. But you also look earlier in the game, and you got Kyle Fuller jumping offsides on a
– lining up offsides. He didn't even jump offsides. He lined up offsides, Adam. I mean, that's just horrible.
And that's a play where there's really no excuse for it. But if Sherrick McManus is healthy, that doesn't happen. And then you have the missed field goal. They got to continue to look at their kicker situation. I put the kicker situation right up there with the wide receivers in terms of the two things that you could really look at this front office and clearly criticize them for this season, that they did not give enough attention to those positions. So that continues to be a problem. I mean, it really comes down to, like most football games, you know, three or four plays, and this really could have gone the other way. So I do think you look at the positive and say, well, hey, look, they're battling. They're going to have a chance pretty much in every single game the rest of the way they're playing football right now. But they cannot keep making mistakes like this, because you're right. When it happens, they look like a poorly coached football team.
Hey, Adam, let me mention one thing here. This defense has been there for 8 games, okay? I don't know if they're going to be there for another 8 games. But I can tell you this. This is a defense that will take you to the Super Bowl. And if we're hoping and praying on next year, is this defense going to be that dominant? Are they going to be that healthy?
Every year. Yeah.
And are they going to bounce back? Are they going to get all the bounces? You don't know. And what we're doing, we're squandering an entire year of 16 games, and there's a lot of reasons for it. But the key is this effort is being totally and completely wasted, and we don't know if that effort will be there next year.
Adam, great stuff. We're up against the break here. We'll read you on WGNradio.com. You're the man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Adam Hogue down in New Orleans. We got to take a quick time out. We'll get to your calls. We start the 5 o'clock hour, 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
You got about 30 seconds, then we'll send you into news here. During the break, we're talking about good on number 25, Brad Muster. That's what goes on in the break. Brad Muster out of nowhere, team.
Well, Rick Geezer brought in a bunch of football cards of the 88 or 9 season, and, you know, Neil Anderson, and got Brad Muster on there.
Yep, Neil Anderson, and Butler, Dan.
He's like, a nice guy.
He said, whatever happened to Brad? You're just asking.
He went by the sidelines, and one of the coaches went, tackle! He'd go down. he was like, oh, God. And he was a first-round pick, too.
Well, there you go. The good old days of good old number 25. Bears lose to the Saints 20-12. Hey, we're going to hear from the head coach, John Fox, in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky a little bit as well. More importantly, we're going to find out what OB did to Dan Hampton today that greatly altered today's Bears game and Hamp's mood. And it really, I think it actually shook Chicago. I mean, at the end of the day.
Right? I think so. It's like a pre-Halloween tale of fright and
right.
fear.
I mean, here's a guy that presented you at the Hall of Fame, just forgetting about that moment, and he hanging you out to dry.
Hypothermia is nothing to
right.
You know,
speaking about hanging you out to dry.
You're on the way there, Mark. I got to say, though, Ed, when Dan's lower lip was trembling when he first walked in, that was a little scary because I thought he must have been really stuck outside for a long time.
Let me tell you something, folks out there. The stuff that's going on in this room now is a whole big bunch of bananas.
I mean,
that's actually not the word, but
Cause hand me that blanket.
He's still
a little cold.
You guys
he can't feel his fingers.
Full of baloney.
If there's a doctor in the neighborhood,
come on by because Dan. I'm still worried because the tips of his fingers are still cold.
No brandy for at least another hour, Cause. So.
Right,
right.
He had come on over from Fox. Wanted to prep the show, get ready for the game, and. You're just stuck.
I left the poor kid out in the cold.
In the truck.
The cat burglar.
That's right.
Getting frostbite.
He's stuck right in. Nobody saw him.
Go to your room.
OB, can you get me coming on in? OB didn't get him, and he just,
went
upstairs.
Well, the worst part was when Ed was up there eating those two apple pies,
looking down at Dan and gritty.
The fresh sandwiches from Mr. Submarine, by the way.
I saw you, Dan, just before you turned blue, but you were looking good. You were looking good, kid.
If Dan had lived, or thank God he did, he was able to grab a sub packed with delicious meat, cheese, and veggies on fresh-baked Toronto bread. Thank you. Visit Mr. Submarine.
It brought me back.
.com. It saved Hamp. Dive into deliciousness.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, the third hour of Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6 o'clock tonight, then Brian Noonan will take over, and then we'll have some Blackhawks hockey for you as well. Bears lose to the Saints 20-12. They go into the bye week at 3-5. Hamp, let me start with you here as we kind of take a peek at the second half of the season here. I mean, what do you want to see after they have their break now and they're coming out, going to play Green Bay, and how do they move forward from here with Mitchell Trubisky? How do they get any – I mean, what can they do as far as getting production from their wide receivers? And with the defense, how do they stay consistent, I guess, and continue to be elite?
Well, and again, at some point, everybody goes, oh, yeah, winning, New England, oh, yeah. Well, you have to fix what's wrong before you can think, I'm going to win, okay? Well, what is wrong? Let's talk about it. Well, number one, the offense has been neutered because of, from Fox down through Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, through the inability to kind of come to grips with the fact that we need to tailor the offense more to what this kid's talents are. And when we had a chance to let him flourish and utilize some of those skills again, well, we don't run a bootleg one time against Carolina. Wouldn't it have been nice? It would have been a lot more proficient today. And Tanner Gentry gets 33 snaps of 37 against the Carolina Panthers because we're up two touchdowns on defensive scores. Well, Tarik Cohen only is on the field for 7. So between the poor play selection, a helter-skelter game plan, and horrible personnel usage, this offense is DOA. We have got to be able to correct those problems. Back to how do you win? You got to fix the problems. What are the problems? A combination. Well, and again, we're not going to be able to fix, the fact that we got crappy wide receivers. Hey, well, you can fight it out all, but you can hopefully be able to do enough different things with the tight ends, with Cohen in the slot doing different things. Yeah, put Wright at wide out, put Tarik Cohen in the slot. You got a break now. Try to maximize what you can do and then go to war and try to win a game against Green Bay.
Let me ask you a question, Danny. I'm going to ask it to you anyway. Darryl Loggins, our offensive coordinator. Let's say it's at the end of the year and he's not here. Either he goes with Fox or Fox stays, but he's gone. Do you think that he will be picked up as an offensive coordinator somewhere else in the National Football League?
No, I don't. No, I don't. And
no chance.
Hey.
No chance.
By the way, remember our last little, what would you call it, mastermind offensive coordinator, Adam Gase. He's got the worst offense in football in Miami right now. So, I mean, hey, there's no easy fix. But the offensive coordinator right now, today, tonight, a month ago I was very optimistic, and I had a belief that we could, you know. And again, remember, a defense is only as strong as its weakest link. An offense is as strong as its strongest link. So, you know, build on the run, build off the play action, build off the bootleg. We haven't systematically done that. So, I guess to answer your question, who would pick him up if the simple little building block type of progressions that you need to accomplish as an offensive coordinator can't be attained?
I know
it's
that,
been 4 weeks now, and the kid,
yeah,
I don't think he's better tonight. Again, he's rushing his progressions and then questioning them. That's horrible.
I don't think if you look at McCarthy up at Green Bay or Belichick up in New England, and this kid became available for whatever reason, I don't think he's going to be hired. And I don't think a lot of these guys, especially on the offensive side, Danny, I don't think they're going to make it in this National Football League. Even though it's the good old boy league, you know, they'll find a job somewhere, put them doing something. But I'll tell you what. When you look at this situation here, offensively, inept, I don't even know if that's the word.
Well, to sum it up is last week when you play your – by his own admission, right? He tells every commentator that comes into town, hey, Cohen's our biggest playmaker.
Our home run hitter.
He's our home run hitter. He is our most explosive guy, and you play him seven snaps against Carolina. That's when you lose your ability to be an offensive coordinator in the National Football League.
That's why I asked the question about the offensive coordinator. Right. Because what he does, whoever the quality people are that break down the three or four games prior to whoever you're going to play the following week, and you go as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, you sit down with your coaches, you take all the numbers, facts, and figures, put them together, and you come to a game plan. And, folks, what happens, they go to the head coach. The offensive coordinator will go, or he'll come in and sit down with them, and to get his checkoff on the offensive game plan, his checkoff on a defensive game plan.
Yeah, that's it. You're right.
That's how it works, folks.
Okay. But to answer Carm's original question to me, which is, what are they going to do?
Yeah, well, how can they get better?
They got to find a way to get better.
Right.
But more importantly, you know, Robert,
do you get better for the next eight games?
Yes.
My question is, where do you go from here? You're into the bye week. How are you looking? If you're coach of the team,
Two words? Common sense.
Well,
common sense tells you what the hell to do offensively.
Play your best players, and on the goal line, put Benny Cunningham or Terry Cohen in there. Don't throw it to Jordan Howard when he's dropped it every time. See, folks, he may catch that ball out around the 40-yard line because he knows in his mind there's 60 yards of field that has to be defended.
Right.
But when you're down inside the red zone, everything happens fast because it's compressed. Those safeties, those corners, those linebackers, they're right there. So that's why he panics. And again, I am the worst free throw shooter in the history of mankind. But I wasn't supposed to be. So don't make me, you know, shoot three free throws to win a game.
Right.
Well, don't make Jordan Howard have to catch that ball at the 5-yard line to win a game.
Yes.
That's my whole point was Darryl Loggins, the offensive coordinator, and his coaches. They go to Fox and they come up with the game plan. They tell you first and 10, second and 3, whatever the distance and down is, and they come with a game plan, all right? How good has that game plan been so far? If it hasn't been for we've gotten every call for miracle interceptions and two run backs, the kid Jackson runs last week two back and sets a intergalactical record and a fumble and an interception. If these miracle things don't happen and us getting all the breaks, we don't even have three victories. We don't.
Do we?
Right.
Do we
think about what I just said? We don't.
There's no question that the wins that they've gotten, their defense has carried the mail, especially last week. I'm just wondering if you
It's almost fluke-like right. wins. But whoa.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, we talked all year that this offense has to be tight end-centric with the packages because of the dearth of wide receivers. Now, your starter, Miller's out. Now, we saw Daniel Brown in most of the third and fourth quarter.
Downtown so, Danny
what,
Brown.
What team?
It's not going to be easy digging out of a 3-5 hole with this group.
Of the 31 other teams, can somebody, maybe some of our listeners or somebody in this room could tell me, who the hell has 4 or 5 active tight ends? Can anybody explain
we do,
one
because
to me?
We only got two receivers that I think would even run out on the field.
Right.
And again, you can only play one tight end at a time. So the other 3 or 4 sitting on the bench?
Well, no, the Bears use double tight end sets. They, you know, really, they probably hitters. Don't even need a fullback because they can take one of those tight ends and play
them at
fullback.
What are the other 2 or 3 tight ends doing?
Sims is dropping balls. We know that.
Well, Deion Sims was targeted 5 times today. Daniel Brown was targeted 1 time today. Miller was targeted twice. So you had Trey McBride caught 3 balls. Kendall Wright caught 2. Those are your wide receivers. The other catches are coming from Benny Cunningham. Tariq Cohen caught 1 ball, and Jordan Howard. I mean, you're getting again. This is the same story every week. You're getting zero production.
The biggest issue I have is our offensive coordinator doesn't know how to use a special talent that not only can run the ball, but you know when you run that fake
you're
reverse to
correct.
Him all the time. Why don't one of these times you actually hand him the ball to Cone? And let's see what he does with that because nobody's jumping that reverse anymore because everybody's collapsing on the dive that you give it to Howard.
If I had a talk with this guy, Loggins, and, what I just mentioned about the 4 or 5 tight ends that are active, what the hell kind of game plan do you put together? What other team in this league has 4 or 5 active every week in a game plan? Think about it, guys.
Probably the closest might be New Orleans, potentially.
You only have so many guys on the offensive side.
Let's do real quick here the defensive star of the game, which is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Trevathan.
Yeah.
I mean, led the team in tackles today, and when he's back, this defense was trending towards elite. They're elite when he's on the field.
Some violent hits today, too, from Danny Trevathan.
But more importantly, you know, defensive player of the year, blah, blah. I show me anybody in the league playing better right now. You know, Kyle Fuller was playing pretty darn good in October until he had a clunker today. But honorable mention by Adrian Amos forcing another fumble and Jonathan Bullock. We haven't been very favorable about his second year of progress, but today he came in and tomahawked the ball out from behind.
Christian
Dan,
Jones, too.
I take a little bit of an issue with that. Akeem Hicks is the guy that drives this defense.
He does. There's no question.
Akeem Hicks.
But Trevathan, Hicks makes Trevathan better because he is controlling the middle, blowing up the middle, and Trevathan gets to run freely to make plays.
But he's doing his job also.
Big time, right.
And Akeem Hicks getting a sack today going up against his former team who never used him right, traded him to New England. Then he started playing well as a rotational player, and that is actually one of Ryan Pace's
That's one of his hits. One of his best moves.
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks.
Deshaun Watson just threw another touchdown pass right now. Is perhaps Mitchell Trubisky not one of his best hits? We don't know. I just want to put it out there. But
you go from one, you know, 1 week you're riding the bandwagon. This week you're jumping off. Huh?
Well, clearly.
I just want to make sure I understood.
No, that's, you're spot on that. I will okay. ride and jump off, but. When the option is Mike Glennon, you of course want to see Mitchell Trubisky,
right?
But it would be ridiculous to not point out that the guy that was picked 10 slots after the Bears, not giving up 3 picks for him,
is he got 18 touchdowns
is
now
crushing the league.
Yeah. They knew exactly what they were doing. We knew exactly what we weren't doing.
Well, there you go.
It's
24.
You know, that's well said, Ed. No wonder he's the cat burglar. He's sneaky. He just sneaks up on you. You don't even see it. It's subtle.
All right, 312-9.
I'll show you sneaking up.
I watched the door the whole hour.
He stared. He never saw him. He just snuck by him.
312-981-7200. You want to jump?
The last time you had your eyes checked?
we're gonna hear from the quarterback Mitchell Trubisky coming on back here 720 WGN. Callers, we will get to you in a second here, but let's hear from the quarterback of your Chicago Bears, Mitchell Trubisky, after the game today. Bears lose to the Saints 20-12.
That's where you did call was overturned.
Pretty surprised.
Did you see any evidence that it had ever hit the ground when you were watching?
Not from my point of view.
What did you see, Mitch, on the last play of the last play?
Yeah, we had a little end cut coming. And I had to get it over the linebacker, and I just left it a little too high. So we had what we wanted. It was a good call. I missed a little bit. I've made that throw hundreds of times. So just learn from it, get better, and just got to bring it down a little bit to give your receiver a better chance.
What did Andrew Brees
say to you? He just said, keep working. Congrats. And we know a mutual friend, so we just talked about that a little bit. And then I said congrats to him on the landmark he reached. He's a great dude and an awesome competitor.
Do you guys feel like you're getting closer to converting these chances into scoring drives and wins?
Yeah, definitely. We were in it the whole game, and we still had a chance at the end. Defense continues to play tremendously, keep us in these games. And we're getting closer as an offense, so we just need to become more consistent. I thought we communicated great in a hostile environment, and we're really getting close. So nobody has their head down. Nobody's pouting. We just continue to lean on each other and know we got each other's back, and we're going to keep working, keep getting better, and get back to winning football.
Heading into the bye week, what's at the top on the list of priorities for you?
Just watch the film and get better each day. Whether it's doing treatment, getting in the weight room, watching film, and just getting guys healthy. So just continue to stay focused. Really take advantage of this week because we're at the halfway point. So, and then just come back even hungrier for next week. So that's what we're going to do. I'm really excited where this football team is headed, even though we came short today. But we're going to keep fighting.
How would you describe what this team's doing defensively?
Sorry?
How would you describe what the Saints threw at you defensively?
They mix it up. They mix it up a lot with the blitzes and the back end a lot more than we've seen on film. So there's another team that's played us differently than what they've shown previously, and that's okay. We just got to adjust on the fly. We did a good game, a good job communicating and adjusting to it, and we were moving the ball all game. We just got to find ways to convert those into points and finish in the end zone more.
When you the sack before Connor's missed field goal, was there something that you could have done differently? You felt like on that play when you kind of went back on that.
I'm gonna have to watch that one. I don't remember specifically. I would say I think they just brought a pretty good blitz, one we haven't seen before in film, if I remember correctly from talking on the sidelines. So that was just a good call to them, and I couldn't get down to my check down, and they covered pretty well on the backside, so they just got us with that one. So I'd have to say it was a good call.
There you go, Mitchell Trubisky. A lot. So he's seeing stuff on tape, and then they're coming into the game and they're trying to confuse him, which is what you
imagine. That coaches are changing up game plans.
Right.
You know, we told you that Baltimore had not ran cover two defense except one play all year until we played him. They ran it 43 times. He's doing himself no. You know, an injustice by acting like he's shocked that somebody's showing a blitz that he's never seen before. You know, again, this is all game plan precise that the offensive coordinator that is on the ball, that is basically, you know, being, prescient, has already drawn up, mocked, and let the offensive line see it. But unfortunately, today, you lose your starting tight end and both starting guards because of injury. So, you know, there's issues, obviously, that each and every week you're going to have to overcome. But I think a lot of what the kid said is this. But you know what? You know what the worst thing is? He's been around here long enough now where he doesn't want to be called Jay Cutler. So he doesn't want to throw an interception. When he does, you know, he thinks it's the end of the world.
Right. I think that's a huge part of it. You're trying to not make mistakes. then he's going to play timid, and you can't worry about that right now.
And, well, more importantly than that, too, I don't believe he's confident in what he's being taught and shown. And when you don't have, you know, look, if somebody says you do it this way and your instinct says, no, I should do it that way, what are you going to be? You're going to be timid.
Right. And that's what he's showing. All right, we'll take some calls coming up after 5:30 news. And by the way, that milestone that he was talking about by Drew Brees, the third quarterback in NFL history to complete 6,000 passes. It's him, Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning. And Drew Brees actually did it faster than both Favre and Manning. So the fastest quarterback to 6,000 completions.
Well, I know he's going to the Hall of Fame. There was no Hall of Fame magic today.
Not today.
I mean, hey, our defense played pretty good, but it was check down city except for that one play.
Yeah. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. We're going to play 1 minute of John Fox unless you call the show.
Do not
play John Fox. OB, he's the head coach of the
Mark,
Chicago Bears.
I'm gonna just give you a small piece of it.
I'm just telling you.
Let's get to the phone call.
All right, the Bears lost to the Saints 20-12. Get to the calls in a second here.
I like to ask the callers, do they want to hear from John Fox?
Well, if
one person calls in and says play John Fox, we will. How's that?
Call with an emphatic no.
Right.
Let's hit this guy.
Just the Bears lost by 8 today. Just a reminder from our guy Sean J. Wagner on Twitter. The Bears lost by 8. They, one, lined up offside on a field goal, which led to a touchdown. They missed a field goal. They had a touchdown taken away by the refs. Sort of. And they allowed a banked in field goal as well. That also happened today, which was fortuitous for the Saints.
That's what happens when you're not a good football team.
I guess.
Those things happen.
3-1-2.
Little details. That's why you're 3-5.
312-981-7200. All right. To avoid John Fox, you must call the show. Bobby on the north side. Welcome to Hamp and OB with Kaz. Go ahead, man. Bobby?
You had him on hold for so long. Bob, we're going to give you a countdown.
In
three, two.
Hello.
There he is. See, good job, hey. Bob.
Sorry, guys.
No problem.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My comment is, guys, just another reason I completely dislike the McCaskies. They have this penchant. They continue to hire these defensive-minded coaches who do not believe in the offensive side of the ball. And in the NFL today, you cannot win with the high school offense.
And Ed has been hitting that drum for the last, what, Ed?
Forever.
20 years?
Forever.
Last 20 years you've been
Forever.
Saying that?
You know who Loggins reminds me of that guy 10, 15 years ago, John, what was his name?
Shoop. The Shoop. The Shooper.
Oh, my God.
Shoot like Shoop the lane. Shoop.
I can't take this anymore.
You're exactly right. And thank
Thanks,
you so
Bobby.
Much for the call. Bobby, again, unintended consequences. The McCaskies, i.e. George, and the rest of the family over Thanksgiving dinner, they go, well, who are we going to hire as general manager? Who are we going to hire? They don't know, so they hire a headhunting firm. Well, that blows up in their face. So then they go and get the little G-man from New York. And this is after they decide – we're going to think outside the box and go young and hire a general manager that's never been a general manager. He's just been a player personnel director at a program that's won, you know, off and on, a hit-and-miss program like the Saints. And then when you hire that 38-year-old general manager, we need to balance that with an old coach. So Ernie Akosi brings his drinking buddy Fox in from the scrapyard, and now we got John Fox and his what would you call it, myopic conservative way
yes.
of being a mastermind has gotten now us to a point where we're 12-28 over 2.5 seasons. It's pathetic.
There's only one coach, Hamp, in the NFL in the last 10 years that has won 3 games with their quarterback throwing only 7 balls, and John Fox is that
guy.
Did
it twice.
Chris Wankie in 06 with the Panthers, Tim Tebow with the Broncos. And
oh,
then,
you're right.
And you want to listen
you're
to
right.
him. And you want to put him on the radio.
Well, we need calls.
Throw him out the window.
We've run out of things to talk about. They're 3-5. We need help here. Otherwise, we're going to Foxy.
This is like
the head coach of the Chicago Bears, yeah, man.
Bobby,
we got to hear from him.
Well, for a while.
Bobby, if you're still listening, and I think where the frustration comes in, that you have and a lot of people have and that I have, is that Okay, it's the Chicago Bears. This is there's only 32 of these teams around, and they make bazillion dollars every year. And what you'd think to win today, you basically got to have a balanced attack. You got to lean a little bit more offensively because the rules tell you to do that. And how year after year after year, and this has been going on forever, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with a defense. It's not going to happen. It happened one time, and that was back in 63. You need that offense. And how a general manager, a head coach, and coaches and the scouts, year after year after year, Bobby, they can't see this. It's a passing league. It's an offensive league. We're back ass words here.
And it's okay to have a power running game if you throw it enough with
Glenn, you will never run your way to the Super Bowl.
No question.
You have to pitch the ball.
But you with a powerful running game and being able to throw the ball, you're almost unstoppable.
The point is,
you know what I mean?
Nobody can see this.
It's
in that organization, we've got to strengthen the offense.
Yeah,
we need linemen. We need tight ends. We need receivers. And somebody, nobody can figure this out from last year, the year before, the year before, the year before. It goes on and on.
Hey, by the way, here's a note that I'm going to throw out. I thought Sitton was a better center.
Small sample size, but.
I know, but I think, again, you know, there was no bad snaps once he went to center. And it actually, in spite of the fact that you had two, basically you lost three players because you moved him from guard to center, they ran the ball still pretty effectively with the guys backed up in there, right, Ed? So, well, I mean, you got to admit, the guy, you know, we've talked about it. Whitehair's not a center. If he's going to play, he's a guard.
No, he's a guard. He is not a center. And there's too many times this kid gets blown up. And, again, he's a little iffy when he snaps when they're back in a shotgun. And at this level, at this time, you do not need that. You do not need that.
Right. Can't afford it. You can't afford it.
No.
Let's try to get John Fox in here. Oh, here's Dino in a car. What's up, Dino? Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Enjoy listening to you, but do not bring Fox on. My goodness.
Thank you.
Dino, he's the head coach of the Bears, Dino.
I'm with OB. I agree with OB. I know
Lovey's the head coach of the Illini. I don't want to hear him either.
I agree with that, Mr. Hampton, too. God almighty. I've been a Bears fan for many years, and I gave them up about 10 years ago. I couldn't take it anymore. My heart couldn't take it, but I still listen to them. I listen to you guys, and I watch them every Sunday. Oh, my God. You're right, OB, 100%. They ignored the offense. No offense. Let's just get a mediocre quarterback, mediocre conservative game plan, and let's just try and run it. With itty bitty short passes and help our defense comes through. It's been what kind of philosophy is that? That's 1960s. You're right, OB.
You deserve better, Dino. Thank you.
Well, Dino, that was a great call. And you know something, the callers we get into the show. From week to week, these people. You know, and I remember some coaches. Especially defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators in talk shows like this, when people would call in and express how they feel. And I remember we had one defensive coordinator. What do those people know? They never played the game. They're calling up and they're saying this and that. They're just stupid people. And I think you know who I'm talking about. He left there, got fired, and he went somewhere else. And he should go somewhere else. But I'm telling you something, folks, you have no idea how many times you people are spot on. You know what you're talking about.
Well, the greatest fans, and they love their Bears team.
Because
it's a shame that the organization hasn't figured out how to jump into the 21st century from an offensive standpoint.
It's just,
play great defense. It's just offense. It's terrible.
It's mind-boggling when you see this. We defensively, we got Fangio. These guys, they're more than holding their own, okay? But that's not how this league works.
You can't win consistently without scoring 28 points. It's just the way it is.
It's just
the way it is.
Yeah, my God, year after year. I'm tired of saying it.
We got one more segment to go. We're going to try to sneak in 1 minute of Fox. We also have a very important message from Dan Hampton. But if you don't want to hear Fox, 312-981-7200. It's our call. it's our incentive.
I like the play, Mark. I like it. Hey, I like how he's played this.
This will be a Fox-free moment on WGN.
We'll see.
But let me tell you this. On Thursday, I had the opportunity to go to a new pizza place there in Orland Park. It's called Anthony's Coal Fired Pizza. And I'd heard about this a long time ago. Dan Marino, years ago, he buddied up with a guy down in Fort Lauderdale. And they've got about 60 of these franchises. The first one being opened in the state of Illinois, right here in Orland Park. It's right on like 142nd and LaGrange. Anyway, Gina and I went over and how many pizza places are there in town, right? 800,000?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, guess what? It was amazing. And I thought it was fantastic. She liked it more than I did. But the thing is, everything's so fresh and it's all healthy. And a lot of times after you eat certain pizza, you want to get your stomach pumped because you're like, I'm killing myself.
You just gained 35 pounds.
Not this.
Is this the commercial?
Yes,
or
it is.
Or is this something you got to
read? No, it's the truth.
Look at the conversational nature that Ham's bringing in.
This is how you really
everything
talk about heartwarming.
Everything is prepared fresh daily. No freezers, no fryers, no microwaves. Just all fresh ingredients. Mm. It's family recipes. Anthony's signature menu includes a lot of different things. I got to tell you, the roasted chicken wings, my son, little Dan, it's all you know where he wants to go get the wings.
Where is little Dan?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is these are like a fraction of the calories of normal wings because they're fired in the oven. And there's no deep frying and all that gobbledygook that they put them on. The homemade meatballs, they sell them by the buckets. Mm. They're unbelievable. Classic Italian salads. Eggplant Marino, by the way, which is Dan Marino's favorite dish. I had it. It was really good. I still hate him because they won.
But
they're incredible pizza. And it's the best pizza I've ever had. Their wings, fantastic. It's all fantastic. It's not greasy, hot sauce, garbage. It's fantastic. Everything we had was super, and they're great at catering. Now, they open tomorrow. It's 142nd and LaGrange. You know, right where it's at, I'm telling you, folks, it is going to be one of the hot names that you'll hear in the coming future here in Chicago, because this is the first one. There'll be many more, but go and see Anthony's Cold Fired Pizza.
And tell them Dan sent you.
That's right. And by the way, go to acfp.com for more information.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I would advertise
tell
on this
Dan
show.
Sent
wait
you.
A second.
Aren't you hungry now?
I mean, that was beautiful.
I can't wait.
Dan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, after you were so eloquent with that promotion.
You want me to go back to the parking lot? No, you yelling out the window at me?
Could I ask you this question?
Are you getting free pizza, chicken wings, and everything for your family and you for the rest of your life? Would that be a fair statement?
I'm working it out where we can bring some in here. Okay? So
Ed, just go with it.
That wasn't the question I asked you.
You took care
of yourself, right?
Don't you have somebody you didn't want to say hello to today, OB? Where's Gigi?
Normally, right. Well, you bring out
my
something.
My daughter, she's fine, but I'll tell you what, there's people. Your all family.
There you go.
Joe Coletta?
Come on. There you go.
Pete Mancini.
Pete Mancini. Just retiring, right?
Paul Tamaraz.
Isn't he just learning from the master? You're the one leading this charge, OB. We're learning from you. Come on now.
Hey, and Hamp, I thought you were going to bring up the Hendrickson guys and CI on
Monty
Thursday
Sharon,
night. We spent time
friend.
With those guys. Great guys, right?
Absolutely.
Monty Sher, you're the man.
You damn right he is.
But you wanted
they
to,
all are.
You know, Mancini, though, you wanted to mention because, again,
yeah,
you wanted
absolutely.
To.
Pete is an old dear friend, Parent Petroleum. And I tell you what, you look for a gas station, call Parent Petroleum. They will set you up.
There you go. There you go. All right, our last.
What's the name of that pizza place again? What's Anthony's.
Anthony's. There coal. You go. Guys, look, they put 300 pounds of coal in there at 10 o'clock, start the fire. It burns all day. The oven's 800 degrees. It takes 4 minutes. Right, 4 minutes. About how long it takes
so
Fox
we could
to get
eat.
His headset off to, yes. to cook a pizza. It's out of this world. I'm telling you, go see him.
All right, we got perhaps a final Fox Free segment coming up here. We'll see.
How long was that commercial?
Quite a long ways.
Hey, he did his job well.
He just broke the intergalactical record in promotion.
That was strong. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Real quick before we get on out of here, Bears and the Packers. 2 weeks from today, the Bears off next week. We're going to play 1 minute of John Fox, unless we have some calls here. Joe, do you want to hear from John Fox?
No, definitely not.
No Fox?
No Fox.
Fox free is what we're calling it,
head
right?
Head coach of the Bears, Joe. He's our leader.
Hey, I just want to call. I want to say, I'm a lifelong fan of you guys. My dad used to take me to the games back. I'm 55 years old. I used to watch you guys play a long time ago. I got to ask this question. Why in the heck didn't we run to get a first down on that last drive?
Good question, Joe. Appreciate you.
There's no good answer. I mean, Joe, the answer is, as you know, in football, the objective late in the game is to score, but you also have to have new sets of downs in order to score. And I don't know how to explain why on third and one they ran a dumb play, and then on fourth and one they ran what looked like the same play again.
Here, Joe, the bottom line is this. We're going to run up. We're going to throw the football. Throw it to who? Who are we going to throw it to when you got Howard who can blow up any hole and make yardage for you? Passing, we have nobody to throw the football to, let alone a rookie quarterback. Just bad football.
Exactly. And again, that was on Fox today. I said the three keys. Number one, composure. Be, you know, set in there. Don't be offsides. Don't have illegal procedure penalties. It's going to be tough. But main thing, offensive coordinator, be prepared and know your down and distance situations. Obviously, it all went out the window. It was idiocy.
1 minute of Fox, unless we have calls. Jim, do you want to hear from John Fox?
No, I don't want to hear from John Fox.
Jim, why? What's up? What's your deal with Foxy?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I took my wife to the game last week, and we probably spent $600 on cheap tickets all the way up. Anyway, it wasn't a bad time because the Bears won, but my problem is this. We can complain about the coaching and the players the whole time, but my problem is with the ownership, and I'll give an example. The Cubs recently got an owner that really cared about the team and was passionate. His deal is not making money off of the team. His deal is winning. I'd like for the McCaskies to sell the team and use their money somewhere else.
Right, Jim, we appreciate it. They're not going to do that. It's just not going to happen, and we're out of time, so we appreciate the phone call. They're not selling the team, and they do care. They just don't know how to execute the plan.
Well, they really don't have anybody that can see clearly and identify the right people run the organization.
The point is what Jim made, and he's spot on.
Yeah.
He's spot on.
All right, guys, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bears and the Packers, see if they can start the second half of the season with a win. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting. Thanks for listening. Brian Noonan coming up next. Hamp and OB with Kaz. We'll see you in 2 weeks, 720 WGN.